It's
I know
those,
you have, but
those
I mean,
lazy position players that was their first.
They mail it in, don't they?
You know, we've been here working and tolling away in this tough Florida environment. You know, this 80-degree
toiling.
Weather.
That's a toiling is yeah. an underused, but that's a proper word.
We were having this conversation yesterday after you were gone. Not about you specifically, but being a veteran, at what point in spring are you like, okay, I'm ready. Let's yeah. go, because it seems to go on for another couple of weeks, and people have been done with it by then.
Yeah, it's a bit long. It is. I mean, there's a couple good things about that. It gives young guys a chance to get out there and play that probably wouldn't have had a chance otherwise to make a you know an impression on big league coaching staff. But you know, for the veteran players that have been around for a minute, you just don't need that many games to get ready.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can put you right into a slump, but you know there are good things. We talked about one of them already, but the other one, you know, sometimes you go through a little mid-spring training arm rut where you're just getting out there and you get a little tendonitis, and then you kind of get over that by the time the season starts. But it does seem a bit young, long. I know they're making a few dollars on it, though, probably.
Well, yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
Pretty good. It's part of the business.
Oh, yeah,
the business
absolutely.
Of baseball is good, while there might be some random distractions. Hey, Adam, I wanted to talk to you because we were just talking about, you know, first day. We walked back, watched some live BPs yesterday, and there are some talented young arms around this organization, and always have been over the years, and we see it year in, year out, guys step up. A couple of guys, I was saying, if I was playing MLB The Show, you a video game guy, or were you back in the day?
Yeah, Nintendo, Sega Genesis,
yes.
Super Nintendo, the
real
ones.
What was the favorite game that you had back in the day?
RBI Baseball.
Hey, it's great.
Oh, yeah.
RBI
RBI's
Baseball
good.
Yeah, you win.
And Mario Kart are the two greatest games of all time.
I can still
I
beat you at Mario Kart. That's a fact.
I doubt that.
All right. I said if I was playing MLB The Show and I had like to build a player of like what he's going to look like, I think I might build Johan Oviedo.
No doubt.
Dude, he walks in. There's a presence to him. You see him on the mound. You're like, oh. Oh, this
yeah.
kid's got something.
He's huge.
Yes.
He's huge, and he was my catch partner for a few days there, and he plays a great game of catch. You know, it's good to see a young guy be able to back the ball, you know, back it up to 150, 180 feet and throw it on a line and hit you somewhere around the chest. You know, it's it's kind of a lost art, a good game of catch. Now we play more fetch than we do catch. It seems like guys are, you know, they're taunting these nice Range Rovers and Bentleys and stuff that are sitting over here in this parking lot.
That's not just happening at my kid's little league. That's happening at Major League camp.
I always tell – no offense to you, Brad.
Yeah,
you
no
were
offense.
A starting pitcher
yeah.
at one point. But I always tell these guys, hey, if you want to be a reliever, play fetch. If you want to be a starter, play catch.
That's something that we don't hear, that there is – and it's logical, but there should be a means to an end when you're playing catch, right?
Well, I think the purpose of me continuing to ride guys on this is that it's that lesson that Chris Carpenter and Braden Looper and Marquis and Greg Maddux and all these guys taught me over the years was, you know, every single throw matters. When you've got the ball in your hand, you're not just randomly, you know, wildly tossing it about. You're focused on a spot on a chest or on a glove somewhere small that you're trying to hit, and you're getting better. It's practice, and you know it's good. It's supposed to be good practice. It's not supposed to be, you know, kind of messing around.
So why is it happening like that? Dudes are just trying to throw as hard as they can, not worried about control.
I mean, it's always been like that to an extent, but yeah, the emphasis now is put so much onto stuff, and not on location. But so like, here's an example. Last year, Jordan Hicks is playing catch in spring training. He's throwing 104 miles an hour sinkers at whoever he's playing catches with, his ankles every time.
Speaking of the devil, he just drives by in one of the bigger trucks I've seen in camp.
No, that wasn't Jordan. He's already here.
Oh, is that not him?
No.
Whose truck is that?
That's Cecil.
Golly.
That's a nice looking truck.
Three big trucks I've seen so far. Him, Gant, and Hicks.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, Jordan's already
All right,
in.
Sorry.
So Jordan's just firing 103-mile-an-hour sinkers at the guy's ankles over and over again. And the guy, you know, he's doing his best, but he just has to continue to catch. I mean, they move a foot, you know. They move like your sinker at 103, Brad.
Yeah, that's probably tough.
So he had to keep going, running, taking a lap, basically, to get the ball over and over again. And I just looked down and said, Jordan, what are you doing? You know, throwing the ball down there every time. And he's like, well, I'm working on my sinker. And I was like, that's great. You know, but how about while we're playing catch, we just hit each other in the chest And then at the end, you know, if you want the catcher to get down or whatever, you can fire it at his ankles if you all day long if you want to. We'll work on that at the end. But a good game of catch is kind of lost on. But Jordan's got a lot better. You know, you got to be able to have an old guy, a salty guy, to be able to say something like that.
You think that was something where it just clicked for him in the moment when you said it?
Well, I think it was just he was worried that if he didn't work on down, down, down all the time, he would lose his sinker. And there's some truth in the matter that you got to have a lot of reps throwing the ball down, down, downhill. But you can play a good game of catch and then do that at the end, can't you?
Sure.
I mean, you're you know, you were a sinker guy.
Look, I'll be totally honest with you. I was trying to handcuff my partner every time.
I
wanted him to
right
hit,
here,
like, right in the thumb where he's like, man, that was a good one.
You sinker guy. Dakota does the same thing.
Adam Wainwright with us on 101 ESPN. So if you're out there playing fetch and Mike Schilt or the organization affords you a breed of dog to go retrieve that fetch for you, you're a hunter and fisherman, so what dog are you going to get to play fetch with?
Definitely a Labrador Retriever, man. Those are the coolest dogs on earth to me. I love a Lab. If they didn't shed and smell bad, they would be the perfect dog.
Yes.
But they do shed and smell bad. So, but I'm outside playing fetch then, right?
Yep.
So definitely a Lab. If I was inside, you got to go with a Labradoodle, you know, or one of those things.
Hypoallergenic too, right?
That's right.
The Labradoodle, that's a pretty good call. Yeah, Golden Retrievers do a pretty good, well, most Golden Retrievers.
They shed too, though, don't they?
We have a Golden Retriever puppy.
Retriever?
Yeah, she's not really interested in bringing the ball back. She loves to go get it.
Really?
Yeah, but not bringing it back quite yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be the trainer.
I think you might be onto something there.
So you think that happens to Caesar? No, he doesn't let that happen.
You got any food in your hand when you throw it out there? You got to teach him like that.
Yeah, that she is really highly food motivated.
Yeah, it's easy enough to get him trained. That I would, just from a viewer standpoint, I'd like to see that during shagging, just a whole litter of them. Right. Nothing wrong with that.
We need more dogs around here.
I wanted to go back to the idea you were talking about. Dakota Hudson likes to do that, likes to handcuff people. He's got the nasty sinker. Dude, you know the trends in baseball, and that's not trends, it's how people are pitching. It's four seams up now. It's the curveball off of it. I came up with Dave Duncan with you, where it was sinker. It's down in the bottom of the zone a lot of times. How do you, for a guy like Dakota Hudson and Jordan Hicks too, I mean, that's their power. Like that's what they do. It's bottom of the zone. It's sinking. How do you not take that away from a pitcher, but also be able to teach them other things? I always had the problem for me. I was bottom of the zone all the time. And when I tried to elevate, unfortunately for me, elevating was, I felt like I was throwing it at the, it was like right in the honey hole. Like how did those guys work? Cause you got a great sinker as well. Like, how do you make that adjustment?
Well, so at the end of the day, I mean, if look back at our season last year, right? The first half of the season, scouting report-wise, we were very concerned with trying to get the ball up, you know, trying to work into these weaknesses we heard. But, you know, we got Jack, Dakota, myself, and Miles. But Miles works up a little bit more than we do. But and Waka, who's a straight downhill pitcher. We got all these guys throwing the ball. And if you look at the second half of the season compared to the first half of the season, what we really were devoted to was getting the ball down. Because the pitches that are being hit out, unless you're facing a Mike Trout, the pitches that are being hit out are thigh to waist. You know, it's the pitches above that are being swung and missed on, and the pitches below that are still being hit on the ground, by the way. They're still being hit on. All these hitters that talk about lifting, there's some really, really talented hitters talk about lifting the ball, but if you throw the ball down, they still hit it on the ground. And so we overcomplicate things sometimes. If you have a pitcher who works really well up in the zone, let him do that. And if you have a pitcher who works really well down in the zone, let him do that. And now off of that, you might want to sporadically throw one up in the zone to give him a different look. But if you have pitchers that do really well, something really well, don't take it from them. In the case of Michael Waka, the guy has maybe some of the greatest downhill tilt that any of us have ever seen. And so when we start talking about throwing the ball up for him, all of a sudden, same thing happened to you.
Yep.
Now he's throwing the ball mid-thigh, and he's getting, you know, he's giving up long balls. When Michael Waka used to get the ball down, he's on the Mets now, so I got to watch how much I'm teaching him. But but he knows this, and we talked about this last year. But when he gets the ball down, people hit it on the ground, they swing and miss at his changeup underneath it. So, I mean, it's just very simple, right? You have to base this off of people's talent, skill levels, and what their repertoire is. There's very few people that can do both really well. There just is. You know, the Max Scherzers, the Justin Verlanders, those are the superstars that can throw the ball up and they can throw the ball down. But most of us have to pick one or the other. You know, I do a little bit of up. It's usually to lefties. But I'd like to be down.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. I'm not reinventing the wheel here.
We got good defense behind you, too.
Right.
Let them work.
That's right.
And obviously the game is different, but can you pitch up in the zone? Were your abilities more able to pitch up in the zone 10 years ago than now, consistently? Like you said, you have to pick your spots.
No, never. I mean, the only times I thought I was really good at throwing up in the zone was when I was in high school and you went fastball strike one, you know, fastball up strike two, or curveball in the dirt, or fastball up strike three, because everybody swung at everything because they weren't, you know, talented big league hitters.
Mm-hmm.
But in the big leagues, I've came up under Dave Duncan also, and it just made perfect sense. You really cannot hit a ground ball over the fence.
That's true.
You just can't do it.
I love that.
You can't do it. You might hit a fly ball that bounces over the fence, but you're not hitting a ground ball over the fence. And when you have a defense like we do, you might as well put them to work.
When was the time in your life that you that either your curveball clicked for you or you knew it was really, really good?
When I was about 10.
Oh, wow. That early, huh?
10 or 12, yeah. It's always been a pitch for me that was completely natural and something that, you know, people always say, like, what are you thinking when you throw this pitch? And I'm thinking, I've got my grip. It feels great. I'm going to rip this sucker, and it's going to be awesome. You know, I never have had the doubts of that pitch that I have had in every other pitch I've had in my repertoire. So, I think it's Brad's sinker. It's my curveball. It's whatever you are made to do, kind of, right? Like,
yeah.
I can, you know, I feel perfectly comfortable backdooring it or throwing it underneath down and into a lefty, or backdoor to a lefty, or, you know, spotting one up and away to a lefty occasionally, or, you know, it just doesn't. I mean, I really feel good about that pitch, so let's hope it stays that way.
Did you ever feel sorry for those other 10 and 11 year olds that you were throwing that thing to?
No, not so much,
because I was one of those people. The first time I saw the curveball, it was over for me. Mm-hmm. And I was in high school.
Yeah, that was awesome facing those hitters. No, because at the end of the day, what I really love doing is winning.
Yeah.
And that is still true. So I'm going to try to keep facing those Randy Carrickers out there that don't like hitting it.
Yeah. Hey, we want to touch on Crisis Aid International, but because you're thoughtful and you know what's going on, we would be remiss if we didn't ask you about your reaction just from a broad scope about what's happening with the Houston situation.
Yeah, I mean, on a broad level, because I've thought about this many different times in different ways on what could I say or should I say and all that kind of stuff from all that. What I know is this. I'm glad it got out, because the game of baseball does not need something like that in it. You know, this game is too great for scandals and whatnot to ruin it. But I also know that I have to watch what I say, because there's been times in my career where I said something that, you know, you don't think is that dramatic, and people make it that way, you know, whatever I say is going to be a distraction to my teammates and to myself. So I could, you know, I could have just told you, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want to tell you. At the end of the day, as a player and responsibility to this team, I don't want to be a distraction to me or the team. I have opinions on this, but I don't have to air every single opinion I have in the world, you know, and I shouldn't air every single opinion of the world. I'm just glad it is getting cleaned up, because as a pitcher on the mound, what you don't need to do is have to change signs every two pitches and worry about, you know, people in the stands or people, you know, doing whatever. You should worry about making a pitch and executing and competing against the batter. That's the game at its purest is competition. It's you versus the hitter, and whoever wins, wins. That is the way it should be, and it shouldn't be about anything else.
Well said. And Big League Impact is going to provide 200 families per month with meals through Crisis Aid International. Local elementary school in an under-resourced community will benefit, and you've talked a lot about the people that are hungry in our community, which to me is the most amazing thing about America. Here we are, the richest country in the world, and that we have people that are going hungry every single day. And Big League Impact doing what Big League Impact can to help feed those people.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's been abundantly clear over the last few years. There's not just people abroad that need help, and there's not just people over here in the United States that need help. You know, and you'd be surprised. We could feed the entire continent of Africa, you know, and get them completely out of poverty and moving in the right direction in a lot of different ways. And somebody would come up to me and be like, you know, you could have helped the United States, you know. And my rebuttal to them is, well, we are, you know, doing a lot of stuff in the United States also. This is just what you're hearing about. But then my question to them is, okay, if that's true, what are you doing to stop hunger in the United States? So I say that because it's not just either or. People need help everywhere, and we love doing that, right? Like, We love to find those people that need help and help them actually take action here and abroad. And it's a call to action for anybody who wants to help us in that mission. You know, there's so many people, like we talked about yesterday at Normandy High School, that whole area is a food desert. They don't have access to clean food. The whole area you're talking about, the elementary school that they're going to be providing these meals through, these are people who are families that don't have food. You know, we're talking about kids, parents. Everybody, their jobs require, you know, they require nourishment to go out and work, and their kids, obviously, they got to eat to be able to go to school and do well and succeed in life. So we're just trying to be a small part in helping those people get to what they can be. And there's plenty of people that need help in St. Louis and the United States, and we're just trying to find as many as we can.
And we can help them as a community. Go to bigleagueimpact.org, or you can just go to our Twitter page, 101ESPN Fastlane. There's a link right to it so that you can make a contribution. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, guys.
We always appreciate your help.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
All right.
Let's bring waffles.